Good morning and welcome to worship at First Baptist Church Savannah, Georgia on this fifth Sunday in the season of Lent. We're so pleased that all of you were able to join with us in worship today. Everyone present is invited to sign one of the pew registers when they are passed a bit later in this service, for that always helps us to know each other better. And if you are a guest among us, we would especially look forward to meeting you and getting to know you better at worship's end. Once again, welcome to all. Would you join me now in the call to worship? The Lord be with you.
God of love and grace, we gather before you today for many reasons. Some of us seek no more than the peace and fellowship of this place. Some of us are looking for encouragement as we walk the road that you have set before us. Others of us are hoping for a word from you, a word of wisdom or comfort, a word of affirmation or direction, confirmation that you are here to guide and protect us. Still others of us are here because we know that our collective presence helps all of us to grow together in faith and in love and in understanding. We all come desiring to be with you and to worship you as authentically as we are able. We pray for your presence with us now, and that this time would make us a stronger community in your name. We pray all these things in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Though we know the Spirit of God lives within us, we do not always act as though that is true. We give in to despair, refuse to trust in God, doubt who God calls us to be, and forget what we can do through God's Spirit. So let us confess now through our congregational confession. God of great mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you. You provide our daily bread, still we hunger for other things. You give your word to guide us, still we surrender to temptation. Forgive us, God of grace. Create a clean heart within us. Teach us your holy way, and restore to us the joy of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And hear these words of assurance. God has written a new covenant on our hearts, a covenant of love and grace. We are made free in the Spirit of God, and we are forgiven. Thanks be to God, and let us respond together.
Thank you. The first lesson comes from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 37, reading verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me round among them. And behold, there were very many upon the valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And as I looked, there were sinews upon them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon those slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great host. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the home of the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, says the Lord.
Our second lesson this morning is from the letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 6 through 11. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the spirit, since the spirit of God dwells within you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you.
Our gospel lesson for today is taken from the gospel according to John chapter 11 and beginning to read with verse 17. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." This is the written word of the Lord. I am told that as late as the second decade of the 20th century, there was a man actually living happily in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, who, according to official records kept by the U.S. Army, had been shot and killed in the Civil War. The official register at Gettysburg National Military Park in Pennsylvania said so, and affirmed that he was buried in that very cemetery. Yet all of the documentation made no difference to this man, who, I repeat, was very much alive. And yet he was determined to make the most of this situation. And so every year, on Memorial Day, he would go to the cemetery at the military park in Gettysburg and lay some flowers on his own alleged grave. And then he would go home, somehow inspired by the thought that he had done his duty by himself. As sad as it is to say, there are a great many people in the world today, by every law of judgment, who act and feel as though they are spiritually and emotionally dead. And it never seems to occur to them that God could raise them up and give them new life on this side of the grave. And because they do not understand that, they go on playing the part of corpses. Some even throwing flowers on their own graves, I suppose. They do not seem to believe that the same God who raised Jesus from the dead could resurrect them out of the deadness of their own circumstances to a new life in Jesus Christ. And yet, that is exactly what the church has affirmed for 2,000 years now in remembering the two stories which form our Old Testament and Gospel lessons for this morning. The first is the story of the prophet Ezekiel and what has come to be referred to as the Valley of Dry Bones. It perhaps is one of the most dramatic passages to be found in all of the Hebrew Bible. It is certainly, without a doubt, the best known episode in the book of the prophet Ezekiel. More than likely, you've heard this story before. It was the time of the exile, and the Jewish people had suffered a terrible defeat. The Spirit of the Lord, Scripture says, brought the prophet Ezekiel in a vision to a valley. Some scholars think it must have been near to Jerusalem, where he saw uncounted bones lying on the ground, human bones scattered everywhere. Ezekiel seems to have interpreted this scene in his vision as a kind of battlefield where Jewish soldiers had failed in their attempt to resist the Babylonian invaders. It was definitely a place of death, where skeletal remains symbolized the desperate situation of his people. The sight of it all was apparently so depressing that even God raised a question in the vision, one which the exiles were asking also. Can these bones live? And of course they could. In the vision, the Lord instructed Ezekiel to speak to the skeletons, and he did. And as he prophesied, there was this noise of bones joining together, and then sinews, and then flesh appeared, and then skin covered them all. And finally, the breath of God came and gave them life. And they made up, in the vision, a great army once again. You may know that in Jewish history, this story has been exceedingly important. It has been so because it offers a word of hope to defeated people. It provides encouragement to persons who are standing beside the graves of their own hopes. And so the Jews, throughout their long history, have read this story. And can you guess when? They've read it at Passover time, as they reflected upon the ability of their God to bring them up out of desperate and difficult situations. Christians, too, have thought of this passage as referring to the final resurrection of the dead, which would come at the end of the world. Matthew and John may very well have had this story in mind as they wrote to describe the resurrection of Jesus himself. In fact, some scholars see in the references by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to Golgotha, the place of the skull, a kind of hint referring back to this story in Ezekiel. Whatever may have been the case, it is clear that the earliest Christians understood this story as offering hope to them as well. And that is because it reminded them of the resurrected Jesus, but also of what God could do in raising their hopes, even on this side of the grave. We all need to hear that word, don't we? A minister friend of mine who lives in another state told me once about a conversation that he had with a member of his church. The man was lying in a hospital room on a gray March afternoon. This was several years ago now. And the patient, lying there in the bed, said to my friend, his pastor, "Well, I guess I'm going to be selling the boat." Which is to say, he knew that he was going to be selling the boat that he loved, the boat that helped him hook the largemouth bass the spring before, the lovely blue boat that had brought joy to him in his retirement years. But what his words really meant were, "I guess that I'm going to be dying." He was face to face with that last and final enemy of death itself. St. Augustine said in one of his sermons that this is the way it is for all of us. It is almost as if the doctor leans over our hospital bed and says, "He's going to die. He's not going to get over this." In fact, it's every human being's story, isn't it? We might as well go over to the three hospitals in Savannah later today after lunch and see all of the newborn babies. We could, in all honesty, look into their cribs on their very first day of life and say the same thing. They will one day die. They are not going to get over this. It is true for us all. We, all of us, are in the same situation. We're not going to get out of this life alive, are we? And that is precisely why the promise, why we need the promise of God's power to raise us to new life in Jesus Christ. Now we see the Bible hinting at the power in Ezekiel's prophecy in the Valley of the Dry Bones. But we find that in a most striking way in the other scripture lesson, which is assigned for us this year on the fifth Sunday in Lent. And that is the story of Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, which conveys to us the truth that the power of God was enough to raise him to life again also. From all that we gather in the New Testament, Jesus knew this family quite well. Some think that Jesus stayed with Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus at Bethany when he traveled to nearby Jerusalem. Jesus apparently loved this family. And so it was not unusual that the two sisters sent word to Jesus when Lazarus became ill. Still, Jesus stayed two more days in the place where he was. And by the time he arrived in Bethany, Lazarus had died and the funeral was long over. Mary and Martha both say the same thing to Jesus. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. But it is Martha, practical, hardworking Martha, who testifies of her belief in Christ and that whatever he asks of God, God will give. She believes in the resurrection at the last day. But on this particular day, she needs to hear that next line that Jesus is going to offer. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus weeps over the loss of his friend. And then they go to the tomb, which was probably nothing more than a cave, with a stone laid across the face of it. And Jesus commands that the tomb be opened and that Lazarus come out. And he does. I'm grateful to Barbara Brown Taylor for her observation on these two texts. She declares that it really is no accident that we have these two stories together on this Sunday in Lent, the story of the Valley of the Dry Bones and the story of the raising of Lazarus, just 2 weeks now before Easter. No coincidence at all. Easter is just ahead of us, and we know from all the signs of spring around us that it will not be long now. It's soon to come. The only problem is that we have to walk through a cemetery to get there. And on this particular Sunday in the Christian year, we have to walk through two of them. Admittedly, some people don't have the stomach for this stuff. They're the folks who will stay at home from Palm Sunday through Good Friday and show up just in the nick of time in order to be able to hear the trumpets on Easter morning. But the rest of us will admit our fears as we walk with the prophet Ezekiel through the Valley of Dry Bones. And we will hang on to each other for dear life as we pass by the tomb of Lazarus and all the others, telling each other every resurrection story we can think of. Which is to say, we believe in a God who sees us through every experience of our lives as we make our way to Easter Sunday. And though it's probably true that all of us would like to enjoy a life that was a comfortable ride on pillows and cushions all the way, living lives free from pain, never knowing failure or disappointment. Our God takes us to the promise of the resurrection by going straight through Bonaventure Cemetery. There is a kind of brutal honesty about this, don't you think? Our God never denying any of it, but instead putting an end to it by working through it instead of going around it. Whether we are Ezekiel or Lazarus, Almighty God resurrects us from our big and our little deaths, showing us by his own example that the road to Easter morning runs smack through Good Friday. Can these bones live? The Lord asked the prophet. And of course, the answer was yes. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus says to a grieving Martha. Not, I will at some point out there in the future be the resurrection and the life, but I am the resurrection and the life. Right here, right now, for anyone who chooses to believe. What a word of hope. What a promise of life. It is enough to enable us all to make it all of the way to Easter Sunday morning. They are stories powerful enough to take us straight through a cemetery of dry bones and then out on the other side. Thanks be to God, and let us pray. We give you thanks, our Father, for these moments together. Help us this morning to find the hope found in Jesus Christ, which raises us from the deadness of our lives to walk in your promise and joy. You, O God, are our resurrection and life. Enable us to experience that this morning as the glad disciples of Jesus Christ. For we offer this prayer in his strong name. Amen. Apostle John told us that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, our God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from every kind of wrong. Let us join our hearts together this morning as we pray silently, first of all, and then offer to our God the prayers of God's people this day. Let us pray. O God, creator of the world and giver of all good things, we thank you for our home on the earth and for the joy of living. We praise you for your love in Jesus Christ, who came to set things right, who died rejected on the cross, and who rose triumphant from the dead. O God, who called us from death to life, we give ourselves to you. And with the church through all the ages, we thank you for your saving love. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you have shown us in the suffering and the death of your Son that the path of love may very well lead to the cross, and that the reward of faithfulness may be a crown of thorns. Cause us this day to remember all those who suffer or hurt or grieve or in other ways find themselves pushed to the limits of human experience. Enable all of them to face the future in the strength of patience and in the certainty of their faith. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, we praise you as the giver of all things that are good and true, life and health, more material blessings than we can count, the beauty of your creation coming alive this spring, and this fellowship together with those we love. More than all else, we thank you for the gift of your Son, who offered up his life for us, with courage and obedience. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, we know that we are not worthy to sit at the table of our Lord where his first disciples sat, just as they were not worthy. And yet we approach his table this morning with confidence, knowing that if we come with sincere repentance, your pardoning grace will be given freely. We ask you to cleanse our hearts of all that is selfish. And as we receive today the symbols of a love which will not let us go, make us receptive to your Holy Spirit. And hear us this day as we pray using the words which Jesus taught his disciples when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen."
Thank you.
Christ compels us to join him in service to others and to use all of the resources we have to do so. Let us give as we are able, so that all may know of the love, acceptance, and abundance of Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful that you receive us as your children and that we can claim you as our God. We pray that you would help us to welcome each person we encounter as a child you love. Take our offerings today and use them to support all of your children. And may we be persons who continue to look for ways to reach out to and embrace others. We pray these things in your name. Amen. In this season of Lent, we take time to pause and think and pray and listen and reflect. So as we come to the table of Christ today, I invite you to continue in that same spirit. Pause, pray, reflect, think about what this table means to you, about who Christ is to you, what his life is to you, and what it means to be his follower. Now on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus was celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples. And at this particular meal, when he had given thanks, he broke the bread. And he said to them, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The body of our Lord, broken for us all.
Scripture also records that in the same way Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ poured out for us all. Scripture also says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." The invitation to Christian discipleship is extended now. What better day than today to profess your own faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or to express a desire to unite with his church, which meets in this place. As we stand in a moment to sing the hymn, and as you would respond, we would receive you this day with great joy. Each Sunday we welcome new friends and sometimes returning friends to our church, and today we welcome some new friends from Orlando, Florida, and also Milton Newton's family members are back with us today, and we are grateful for their presence as well. If you are a guest, give our people an opportunity to greet you in the name of Christ. They would look forward very much to doing that. Quickly, by way of announcement, since today is a Communion Sunday at First Baptist Church, ushers will be stationed in the narthex following the service to receive your gifts to our church's benevolent fund. I remind you that these monies are used each week of the year to meet emergency needs in the lives of the poor and the homeless. And so, as always, we encourage you to give generously. Because of all the additional luncheons and activities and special programs occurring on Sundays in the remaining Sundays of April, there will be no fellowship hour today in Lewis Hall following the service. Instead, you are invited to join others for the Sunday afternoon installment of Congregations in Service, taking place today at Wesley Monumental United Methodist Church, beginning with a pizza luncheon at 12:30. Congregations in Service volunteers had a marvelous experience yesterday morning in a number of service projects, and more are planned for today. You're invited to be a part of that. And finally, you're invited to join us on Wednesday evening of this week for our midweek church gathering. It begins with a fellowship meal at 5 o'clock in Lewis Hall, followed by other activities. During the adult gathering time, Josh Brewer will lead the fourth session on a Bible study based on Rowan Williams' book, The Sign and the Sacrifice, about the cross. cross and the crucifixion of Jesus. So join us if you are able. And now, as we prepare to leave this good place, would you receive the benediction? Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.